I'm Sol, and I play Archie.
And I'm Jess, and I play Rizzy.
I'm Aram, and I play Dr. Missy.
I'm Isha, and I play Amalda.
I'm Hugo, and I play Mace Khan.
And I am the Game Master, Fraser Shepherdson.
The Dirty 20 Podcast is a Dungeons & Dragons live play audio adventure set in the original world of Kel Thaerin.
We've been on an epic journey so far, and here are some of our best bits.
I hope you enjoy!
You notice something around your feet. You look down your bare feet in the sand, and then there's this little pop of like this green glowing light that pops up next to your feet, and then there's a blue one somewhere else, and then a red one, orange, blue, red, red, orange, 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 red, green, 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 and then all around you, these little tiny little baby turtles shuffling their way out of the sand, and they have these glowing shells that are luminescent under the light of the setting sun, and they just start just making their way down towards the ocean in these droves. There's so many of them. They're popping up everywhere, and Bosun Curious looks down. Oh, would you look at that? Well, these little critters, and just sort of being careful to step over the top of them. And Mace, how do you react to these little creatures?
I race them.
You race them?
I immediately drop what I'm holding and I race them as well.
Oh, hold on. We need that. No, never mind.
So you squeeze a little further and you squeeze a little further, and then you pop into this much larger cavern, and it is filled with these purple and blue mushrooms that glow. Sorry. And they bounce off the light is just bouncing off the walls, and it's just covered in them. There are even these like fungi that grows down the walls themselves, and you're on this little about 2 foot high ledge at the far end of the cavern, and you look around and you're immune to being frightened with heroism.
Yes.
So you don't need to make a wisdom save. You see that there's that like the spores of these mushrooms sort of hang in the air like quite thickly. And you are breathing them in a little bit before you notice them, and nothing happens. You feel okay. And you realize that you are standing in a really dark cavern, like the ones back in the forests of Talon that terrified you at the time. So you hoist Yisrael up and...
What?
You're a slaver.
Yes. I was. Was a slaver.
Well. These people might want to keep you alive. Missy says you must be alive for now. But the moment they do not care, I will kill you myself.
Fear floods into Yisrael's eyes.
I can explain.
I wouldn't understand.
Throw them to the ground.
The book in your lap suddenly, very gently, just without you touching it, just lifts ever so slightly. And then it opens and it flicks back towards the back of the book and opens to this one page, and there is the feather of a robin sitting in the book. And you look at this, and then the feather lifts ever so slightly, and then it touches the tip to the paper and begins to write. And it says, Archie, is that what I should call you? And then the feather lifts up off the page and drifts towards you.
I grab it from the air?
Mm-hmm.
Is there ink on it, or...?
There is, like, a tiny little nib of ink on the end.
I just write back, preferably, but it's preferably is definitely misspelled.
Misspelled. Yeah. And then you let go of the feather and it drifts back up into the air for a moment. And then writes again. You're not the only one who has felt somewhat uncomfortable with my gifts. But you deserve them.
I grab it. Thanks. All the R's are included.
Yeah.
What can I call you? Do you have a name?
The lift's up. I go by many names. You can call me the Fast Rider.
Will I ever get to talk to you face to face?
I hope so. In fact, I think we will have to at some stage.
I'm going to explain Y1K to them.
Okay.
As we are nearing the year 1000.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit down and I'm just going to have this whole monologue. All right, so this is the deal pretty much. And with my new cantrip, Prestidigitation, I'm making it very theatrical.
Yeah.
So when I like raise cadence in my voice and get louder, the flames around me get louder as well and that kind of thing. And I make some sound effects. And so a lot of these academics in the prestigious universities at Fallcrest, where I come from, believe in this thing called Y1K, which is the belief that when we reach the year 1000, right, when the calendar clicks over to the next day, right, the world and the people in the world and the creatures in the world won't be ready for it, right? And the magic, all the colour in the world, the very thing that binds people and things together will disappear.
This theory's been debunked. I want you to know that. This theory
I make everything louder. So.
Okay. That's better. I like it.
No. Why don't we just stay nice and quiet? Is there like another door that I can see? Or is this just one big room?
It's one big room. There is off to one edge, one side of the room, there's this big heavy iron door leading to another. Where you assume it's probably the vault or like the valuable sort of section.
Do we wanna just try and sneak past?
There's a mystery in here, Missy, and I wanna uncover it.
I know, but why don't we get safe in the vault room and then we can actually talk and decide what to do?
I'm going to be honest, everybody, I don't have many spell slots left. And if we have to fight this thing,
it's only one thing. What
we don't know that.
Shit right now. I cannot see anything.
We'll hold hands and we'll do it. We'll sneak around the side. We'll try to get into the vault. Then we can close the door and we can talk normally.
Or well, we could do that if we just went back upstairs.
Do you want to go back upstairs?
No.
Okay, so do you want to just try and attack this thing real fast? Just get it over and done with?
Okay. Why don't we try and talk to it first? And then
its jaw is hanging off. It can't talk.
Oh, good point. Right, so it's George is hanging right off.
Hanging off.
Okay, well, how about this?
Listen, what I don't like the Z word. I think it's been used. It's been used discriminatorily against the undead community in the past.
Oh, zombie. Is that a bad word?
I'm just saying, I don't like it.
Okay.
Okay.
But
it's a zombie. Wait, but okay, how about one of us makes a noise and then we see what it does?
What do you what?
Let me make a noise.
No, I think if we're going to make noise,
I think.
But if we make noise and it goes like, whoa, and then it's, and then it's like, and then it's
no,
like,
you know what? You're actually right.
And then
you're
it's
right.
Like, and then it sits down and it like invites us for a cup of tea rather than it's, imagine
what,
if you were,
thing
imagine if
got
you
got
were,
a sword in its hand.
Okay,
maybe
no, no,
that sword's
no,
just
no.
A big teaspoon.
Archie, go for it. Archie, you go for it.
Okay, I back away because I'm terrified.
I back away and raise my gun, but I'm no, Archie, go for it.
Is everyone standing around me right now? Because I feel a little bit...
We're like 10 feet behind you.
I can't see that. Yeah. I step forward and I go, hello?
Oh, God.
That didn't sound good.
Turns and looks towards you.
And I go, Missy, what's it doing?
Missy,
and I reach around like Missy.
Most disturbingly about this individual is that they don't have any eyes. Like, it's not that they've been sort of pulled out or anything. It's just like this sort of smooth like skin where the eyes usually are. And as you approach, Rizzy, this individual kind of like shifts ever so slightly.
And then, I think seeing all these things and after reading the journal, Missy's just going to put a hand up just to sort of like slow people down.
Yeah. Cocks its head at you, Rizzy, and says something inaudible. And I need you to make a wisdom save.
Oh, fuck.
Was it an elvish? Did it speak in elvish?
It was very, very quiet, like to pretty much inaudible.
Wait, I get advantage. That was a nat one.
Oh, okay.
But I get advantage because I'm the Vidalcan.
Okay, nice.
Oof.
10.
Jeez. 10? Okay. Something gets whispered to you. And you feel this sudden real compulsion to help this person. Mm. And without even really saying anything or thinking, you turn around to Imelda and you reach and just sort of like seize the key, like take the keys from...
I don't think I'd resist because I don't know what was in the journal. Yeah, sure. I think I'd go with it.
You gently take the keys from Imelda and look back to the cage and take a step forwards.
Rizzy?
Really knowing what you're doing.
What are you doing?
Rizzy?
What are you doing?
I just have to help this person get out.
Is Rizzy okay?
I think I just point the gun at the person in the thing. I'll be like, release your hold! In Elvish is why I say, release!
Doesn't really do anything. And Rizzy, you just, the key goes into the lock.
I don't know. I just have to open this, okay?
I shoot this person.
Okay. The gun goes off. As the smoke billows up in front of you, and then you all sort of like your ears all start ringing, and you sort of, like instinctively close your eyes, and there's just this through the room. And as the smoke drifts into the sky, you all look up, and Rizzy and the person in the cage are gone.
Oh! And don't worry, my space won't be empty, my seat won't be cold for long, it will be replaced.
Missy, like, sneaks around and just, like, looks up at it for, like, an hour and then, like, isn't able to go in.
Yeah.
And just, like, walks away.
Yeah. No, I'm behind you as you're looking.
What are you doing?
What the...
Well, everyone left.
How long have you been there, Mace?
Pretty much since we split up.
Oh!
Like, everyone went to things. I didn't want to go where they were going. And then, like, it was just you for a moment. And then you just didn't speak to me. And then you walked off. And I was thought, okay, well, Missy's the captain now. I just follow Missy.
Oh, don't say that. Please don't say that.
Okay, Missy's not the captain. No. Missy's a...
I'm a doctor.
Doctor.
Yeah.
And... Just a doctor, okay.
Just a doctor. For now, just that's all I can deal with.
Why were you staring at this building?
I used to work in a building very much like this.
Mm-hmm. What did you do?
I studied and I taught.
I don't think I've ever been in a building like that before.
They're beautiful, aren't they? I used to sit up in a tower just like that one. You can sit out, legs dangling out the windows. Good book. Just days could pass.
Mm. Books keep you warm.
Yeah, they do.
Oh. Yes!
Rearing up about 30 feet from the shore's edge is this titanic dragon. Comes up in front and it towers. It's almost like the size of like a low skyscraper almost. This bronze foam is enormous, and I don't think any of you have probably seen her this close, maybe except for back on the beach on Saltwind Island. As she rears up, and then there's this... As this steam begins to...
Hide,
her nose, and then she begins to open her mouth as this steam begins to roil as the alligator continue to scream and people start to hide and like cower behind things. And then... She looks down to you, Flick. Oh. And the steam.
Hello! Oh, mighty one.
Scroll bearer.
Yeah. The name's Flick.
You stole my ships.
Oh.
Why?
Well, you bloody wanted to kill us. And my new friends. Why have you been so rude, huh?
You took from me.
Yeah, maybe just borrowing.
Comes down a little lower.
Is there something I can give to you that, make you, you know, go back to your watery domain?
How long have you carried the scroll?
I really have a great perception of time, but a little while.
And yet you do not follow the path.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to, mighty bronze firm. I don't really read ancient draconic. I want to follow the path, though. I want to become like you, your mighty power. Maybe it can save my family.
They took my ships to take from a dragon is death.
If the prophecy is correct, they are already halfway there. And the only missing piece, it's you.
So, would I have to be sacrificed ritually for it to happen?
Yes.
Okay. And if I died in a way that wasn't a ritual sacrifice, it wouldn't be possible?
No.
Okay. Okay. I love you, Mum.
I love you, sweetheart.
And I kiss her on the cheek. And I'm going to go back down to town. Okay. And then... Would I know, like, an apothecary or something where I could get... This is very grim again. Yeah. Sorry, everyone.
Love it.
Like an apothecary where I could get one of those, like a capsule or something that I could have in my mouth.
Oh, a cyanide pill.
Like a cyanide pill.
Holy Jesus. Shit. Yeah.
Tegan is incapacitated.
No! Don't do that! Don't!
His final strike, the Sokola's final strike. Tegan's AC is 16. No. Sokola rolled 15.
No!
Advantage. Yes. With advantage.
With advantage.
15.
Holy that's shit. Fuck.
I wouldn't make this up. That's a dice roll I'm not intending to fudge.
Oh my god.
Tail swings around, misses Tegan by the skin of his teeth. Would have failed 2 death saving throws straight out of the bat.
Well, I think it's just a moment of just sheer awe. Mm. Even though it's a star in a sky in which awful things happen, it's a star nonetheless.
Yeah.
And I think Fish has to, like, but I think, like, the energy is overwhelming so much. She's, like, shaking and she knows she can't hold this for very long. Mm. I'm going to walk with my well with the star in it over to the actual well.
Yeah.
And I'd like just one more time to try and feel what is down there.
Yeah, sure. You start walking over. It's so heavy in your hands, not just on your body, but on your mind as well. As you walk over to this well and you stare down and it's all just starting to come together. You're looking into a void, essentially. But... you look down at this beautiful starlight in your hand, and you think that if you were to let this energy overcome you, consume you, you would be set free from your corporeal form, and you could wander the astral plane for all of eternity.
Oh, goodness.
Or you could cast it into the well.
Oh, I think Fish, like, just reaches towards it and just with a finger just traces the outline. And her fingers are shaking. And her eyes start to kind of glow in response. And she can feel what it would be like And I think that's every Druid of Stars' dream.
Yeah.
Is to be up there with the stars. And then I think when she thinks that, she thinks that's every Druid of Stars' dream. She thinks of her family. And everyone out there that is lost, unfound, in danger, or dead. And I think she knows she can't leave until she knows where they are.
He like reaches up and touches the side of his face that's kind of half Sahuagin.
Do you remember Vamir, the girl who I kind of have I don't have a crush on her, but like I like.
Yes, everybody knows that you have a crush on her.
I don't have a crush on
her. Okay, Shanusha. Anyway, just talking about her for an unrelated reason. What's up?
I really want to go speak to her tonight and like hang out with her, but I'm worried about this.
Shanu, and I think I reach up and I touch the side of his face and I go, this doesn't change anything about who you are. It just means that you went through something and you were very, very brave and that you didn't give in. It doesn't make you different and it doesn't make you less lovable or anything like that. It just means that you came out the other side.
I lift the trapdoor. And as I make my way down, I start saying,
it seems pretty clear that the rest of them have forgotten about you. But I don't forget. I've learned recently what justice means. For people, I think it means a lot of different things, but for me, it means punishing those who have wronged others.
And I think my arm is sort of slipping into the darkness of the hull. Oh. As I'm walking towards, I walk towards Israel.
Yeah.
And then on the left side, it's the bracelet. It's like, I think, brighter, but this harsh brightness, this almost like hot brightness, but it doesn't touch the darkness of my arm, my other arm.
There is at the end of the hull towards where you were walking, there's this little oil lantern burning, casting just a little bit of light, and you can see in the shadows is the smaller, the halfling, Yisrael, the slaver, who's stowed away on the ship, and she's looking up at you with just something resigned, a lot of fear.
See, I recently ran into a friend of mine who not long ago taught me how important it was that those who have done wrong see justice. He saved me, and now I feel like I'm saving the people that you have hurt. Because the truth is, one way or another, you will never escape justice.
Oh, fuck yeah! Metal! Yeah.
Goodness.
You're like Batman if you killed people.
The wall next to Missy's door explodes.
No! Wait, are we on a ship right now?
Missy!
Hi, Mace!
Oh my god!
So good to see you.
I'm gonna sprint up and do the exact same thing Amalda did. I'm gonna jump onto you like weight, and I imagine.
Make an athletics check, Rizzy.
Okay, 17.
Pretty good.
Yep, okay, so you managed to. Oh, your knees buckle just a little bit, but you do manage to catch the sheer weight and size of Mace.
You have not gotten lighter, Mace.
Oh, it's so good to see you.
Oh, it's so good to see you.
You've been gone for so long.
I have. Where's Archie?
I saunter in through the broken wall as if I don't even notice that it's broken.
Yeah.
And I go,
there's a door.
We're going to have to change the boat situation because my camel actually
can't. And I run towards
you. Oh, Rizzy.
I just hug you.
Hello, Rizzy. Oh, Rizzy. I missed you the most.
What do you mean?
Don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah, so my,
Archie left
my,
too.
My camel actually
Archie
can't get
left.
Down here. Oh, yeah, I was gone. I was looking for you, but it didn't happen, actually.
Archie left on the same day you left.
Right. And yeah. then I sort
it
of...
It was a bad day for all of us.
Look, between Archie and then Titania and then Titania and then Archie.
Oh, this is my nan.
Oh.
Hi.
Hi.
Great, great, great.
Wow, yeah. You look really, really good for a grandma.
Oh, thank you. I moisturize.
Yeah.
That's what you say every time.
She is
I
the
do.
Yeah, you do moisturize a lot, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
She is the fast swiper.
The fast icer.
The Strider. Fast. Strider.
Oh, Strider.
Strider. The fast Strider.
Archie.
Yeah.
It's too strong.
What are you saying?
I need to close it from the inside.
I look really dramatically.
No, you can't. You just got here. I have to. I have to save everyone.
I grab her hand, like we like hold hands, and I say,
"Don't, please." I don't have a choice, grandson,
grandmother.
But first, I need your clothes. I need you to take off your clothes.
All of them.
Yes.
I have to be totally naked?
Yes, it won't work otherwise.
Are you totally sure?
Yes.
Fuck.
I like the idea that Amalder and Mesa behind the mask, like flicking through the script, being like, it's not in here. This is what the hell is going on.
Even think very hard about this moment that we're in now, because I thought, okay, Fraser, you're doing great. You're going to have a warship in the cove with rows of cannons pointed at the party as they approach.
Yeah.
You're going to have this crew of dirty, violent, aggressive-looking pirates approach, and also a ship full of innocent people. surely that is enough.
Sol's put his hand
Solomon,
up.
Would you like to
Fraser,
contribute to
I
this
think your fatal flaw here is yes. you've forgotten the very important fact that you have extremely irrational characters.
Yes.
Oh. Mixed with players who don't pay attention.
It all starts to sort of move in slow motion as Rizzi. You just come charging down into the lower deck and you burst through the kitchen. And you just see Wave is just like salting this beautiful fillet of fish.
My goodness.
You know, I kept this one for myself. I know the food situation was bad.
Wait, are you talking to yourself?
What?
Are you talking to yourself?
No, I don't do that.
God, you're lame. What are you making?
This is halibut. Rare spotted halibut.
Jesus.
And it is from my own escapades. I apologize, Captain. I know that we were in a dire situation, but now that the tables have turned against us and we are doomed to a watery grave, I wanted to taste seafood for one last time.
Wait, we're going to be fine. I cast heroism on him.
Okay.
A willing creature you touch
what
is imbued with bravery.
What am I doing?
just clears the bench of the kid, just throws the halibut
across
my
the goodness.
Side. You hear Ray finds it. That was rare fucking halibut. he grabs your shoulder.
Captain, we have to get off this ship.
Yes.
What are you doing down here?
Okay, let's go.
And you both just start charging up above deck.
Not before I grab like a box of matches from the kitchen.
Yeah.
Box of matches.
Hmm.
And we're going to end this session as you come running up the mat. You strike the match. It flicks into the air and it spirals. And it hits the deck of the ship. And this blue flame just spreads out as you cry out, "Abandon ship!" Missy dives
cackling.
Off to one side.
Cackling. And as I dive off, I also cast shield on myself.
Nice.
As this, yeah, this war just...
And you all splash into the water over the side of the pumpkin. And you surface, bobbing in the waves, as there's another load of cannon fire from the warship. And this flaming ship just collides into the warship. We're going to end the session there.